Ladies and gentlemen, it is not the President of the United States, but we are going to hail to the Chief Horticultural Officer for Chalet Nursery. Chalet is located in beautiful Wilmette, 3132 Lake Avenue, and Tony Fulmer, welcome once again to the show.
As always, it's my pleasure.
How are you, Tony? Everything good?
Good. Excellent. Just on the downside of a cold summer.
Oh, no.
No, it'll be good.
You'll be all right? All right.
Planting is not just for summer.
That's right.
We have to get things ready for winter for outside things.
Right.
Bulbs. I have purchased bulbs. Listeners have sent me bulbs. I think you brought us bulbs last time you were here.
Those
the tulip.
Easy bloom pads. Yes. Yeah.
And I have not planted the bulbs yet. Am I too late?
Ordinarily, Wendy, you would be too late. Ordinarily, there would be at least 3 to 4 inches of frost in the ground. But right now, with these temperatures, there's no frost in the ground. So it's going to be muddy. And my understanding is there's going to be lots and lots of moisture this weekend. So the next few days, you can absolutely go ahead and get your bulbs in ASAP.
How about that?
Is it possible, Tony, I know you're a busy man, to come in and give our listeners a moisture alert a couple times a week? Would you come in like on Thursdays?
Could I phone that in?
We do. Wendy and I phone it in.
Every day.
Yep. We can all phone it in.
Sure, I can phone that in. And temperatures, soil temperatures too. Sure.
Right. So that will be good then to get them in now, because then when the moisture happens, that's what the bulbs need to.
Yeah, that'll trigger the rooting mechanism. But what you really need to do planting this late, you know, a lot of people plant bulbs and then they water them and then they're finished. Planting them this late, what you want to do is you want to cover them with 1 to 3 inches of some type of mulching material like leaf mulch, because you need to keep those soil temperatures up. If you put the bulbs in late like this, the temperatures drop and that ground starts freezing. They don't get rooted properly and then they won't bloom uniformly and they may not even bloom at all. It may affect the bloom. So you want to get them in and mulch them with 1 to 3 inches.
I'll put little blankets on them.
That's
exactly.
That's the best thing you can do for
little,
them, right?
Little booties.
I'm sorry?
Little what?
Booties.
Oh, I thought he
booties
said something else.
I thought he did too.
No.
We're
going to
review the tape, Tony.
No.
You may have to sit in the penalty box for a few minutes.
Okay. Did you see the lovely poinsettia, which I know it's poinsettia, but I've never said poinsettia in my life.
And I don't either.
It's poinsettia.
It's poinsettia.
Legally, poinsettia.
Legally, it's poinsettia.
Yeah.
But it's just that extra syllable in there. The poinsettia is just, you get lazy. It takes too long.
Yep.
Exactly.
So that is a lovely poinsettia plant. And
it's a little different, isn't it?
It is different. It looks like all I'm seeing are the, is it variegated? Is that what it's
variegated?
Called?
Mm-hmm.
That's the two colors of the leaf.
Mm-hmm.
And
as she instructs Bill. Yes.
It looks like the leaves are... they're all kind of blended in. It's really beautiful.
It's a newer variety. It's called Tapestry, and it's a shame people can't see it right now, but it's green, and then it has that gold green edge, and which may sound a little Las Vegas-y, but I actually think that bright red against those colors is really nice.
It looks like Christmas. That's probably why it's the official Christmas plant, isn't it?
Well,
it just has a Christmas look.
It is the official Christmas look. And the big thing is when people have to be really, really careful when they buy them. What you want to look at in the center, and I'm sure most people have heard this, but those colored, what people call the flowers, those are actually just modified colored leaves. And if you look down in the center, those little tight little bulb-like things, those are the actual flowers. And so when you look at a poinsettia, you go to buy a poinsettia, you look at that one, and you want those to be green and tight. If they are brown or opened up too far, then that means the plant has been in bloom for a long, long time, and you may not get a lot of enjoyment out of it. And with these new hybrids, literally, they can last till Easter to the point where you're kind of sick of them.
Really?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We'll take a picture and put it on our Facebook page, Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder. You want the little green nodules. You want tight nodules.
Everyone should have tight nodules, Tony. We've said
I don't want
before.
To go to the penalty box. I'm staying away from that one.
But it does look, you can tell that the green, the red floral part is part of a leaf, but I never knew it was till you just said that.
Yeah, they're called bracts, actually.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful plant. Very, very nice. Is there ever a time, I don't know if you're okay with this or not okay with it, sometimes people will give a gift and it's an artificial plant. Are you ever okay with that, or should you always go real?
You should always go real.
Always go real.
Who gives an artificial? I mean, I buy artificial poinsettias.
It's all right
to
buy an artificial also. We call it permanent.
Yeah. That's a better way to say it,
isn't
it? If
you're going to have a permanent plant, I think you should buy that for yourself, but as a gift, I think you should always
give a real one.
Who have you given a fake plant to?
People who are artificial friends.
From California?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's those superficial ones, yes.
Yeah, yeah. They don't get a real plant. They get an artificial plant.
Speaking of artificial, I have to tell you, getting a gorgeous Christmas tree at Tree Time on Pepper Road in Lake Barrington, I have never, ever in my life had a real tree. And this looks so realistic to me. And I will never get a real tree because I don't want the upkeep. I don't. It's a lot of work, isn't it?
I wouldn't say it's a lot of work. It's just doing, it's like anything, it's doing it right from the start. It's about picking a tree that's really, really, really fresh. And the biggest thing is that fresh cut. Once you are getting ready to put the tree up, you want to make a fresh cut. It's just like a cut flower. And it doesn't matter. Everyone says, well, do I have to take an inch off or 2 inch? It doesn't matter. You just need a fresh cut.
You need to recut it after you've purchased it at like a YMCA or something?
Or at a independent garden center. Or an independent garden center, yes.
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, or the chalet.
The chalet nursery.
But wait,
yes, exactly.
So you have to bring it home and cut it again yourself?
Well, if they cut it for you at the lot, like we do at chalet.
Of course you do. The people at the Y do not cut it
right,
for you.
So yes, of course you do. Because it's just like a cut flower, and once the trunk end of that plant, those cells have sealed over, you can put it in all the water you want. It's not going to absorb anything, and therefore it's not going to stay fresh for any length of time. So when you make that cut, you generally have 1 to 2 hours to get it home, get it inside, and get it in warm water.
Really? So do you have
window.
A saw at your
it's
house?
We have a saw.
Do you don't know how to use it?
No. I don't know how to use it.
It's not, you know, you get flowers at the chalet. You know, you can freshly cut the stems and arrange them how you
like. And
it's
exactly the same thing.
A Christmas tree is a big commitment to cut the trunk.
Well, and the thing that people do that they do mistakenly is they want to do all of these homemade remedies. They want to put aspirin, Karo syrup, and the best thing
aspirin, in case the tree has a heart attack at some point, you want the aspirin to help.
Well, but I've never met a Christmas tree that's had a headache.
No, that's true, isn't
so,
it?
At least not that they've been able to express to me.
Right.
But at any rate, the important thing is...
You two should go on the road.
We're thinking about it. Yeah. Tony and I have talked about it.
Make the cut, get it inside, get it in warm water, and then every time you add water, it should always be warm water because
always.
The plant will take up more warm water than it will cold.
Didn't know that either.
Ideally, a tree should last you throughout the entire holiday season. If you get a tree in early December, it should last you right up until Christmas.
It should, but there are a lot of different varieties of trees, and so the one tree that you want to watch is balsam, which is very traditional, and it has amazing fragrance, but also has a very, very thin needle, and you get it in a 72-degree house with no humidity, or you put it up, God forbid, near the fireplace, and it dries out like that. So they can shatter pretty quickly. So balsam, to me, if you get 2 weeks out of a balsam, that's probably good. So, you know, maybe if you're going to have it up for a long period of time, make some other selections.
Sure.
Like a Fraser fir in particular is a wonderful Christmas tree.
Nothing ruins Christmas, Wendy, like a brush fire right there in the living room.
That's
right. Smells good, though, doesn't it?
It smells fantastic.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
312-981-7200. We're talking with Tony Fulmer. We love when he comes up, and listeners love talking to him. He's the Chief Horticultural Officer for Chalet Nursery in Wilmette. You can go to chaletnursery.com. We'll take a quick break, and then we have some questions, some texts about perennials. Is there anything we have to do to get them ready for winter? We will come back and talk about that. It's Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. It's Bill and Wendy. We're talking with Tony Fulmer, Chief Horticulture Officer for Chalet Nursery out in Wilmette. A beautiful location, chaletnursery.com. Bill, you really have given someone a fake plant?
I don't know. It's possible. I just give people gifts, Wendy. I don't really think about it. I want to make the world a brighter place.
I did want to say that a texter put 312, there are people with COPD and other breathing problems, so fake flowers are better for them.
That's who I give it to.
But here's the thing. You got to dust the fake flowers. I had a cat who ate every item of greenery I had, so I went to fake ficus trees and all that stuff. You got to dust them or you're just giving yourself a bigger asthmatic problem.
Right.
Someone wants to know, you don't add bleach or citrus to Christmas tree water, do you?
No. No, I have not been able to find any evidence from any university or any of the Christmas tree growing associations. Their recommendation is water, warm water.
Why,
always.
What would bleach do? Why would somebody think that bleach would be a good
idea?
I
assume, trying to put myself in that mindset, I would assume that maybe they're thinking it kills bacteria that might clog the uptake.
But wouldn't it kill the tree too?
No, not necessarily, no. No.
Maybe they're trying to make one of those white trees that were very popular in the 60s.
That's probably it.
AKA flocked. Yes.
Yes. Right. Please ask Tony what to do with potted evergreens in winter. Stay outside or bring them in?
Okay. That's a good question. Typically, people have potted evergreens because they want to use them and enjoy them all winter long. So when you do that, you should always do that with the idea that it's an annual and it may be dead in the spring. Mm-hmm. There are things that you can do to increase the chances of it being alive, and the biggest thing is the container size.
Yeah.
So number one, make sure that you have a plant that is innately hardy, but then you want a container that's at least 24 inches by 24 inches by 24 inches. Anything smaller than that and the soil volume may freeze solid. And then you have a lot of damage to the roots, and then the plant collapses in the spring.
You don't want that.
You have to know math to know horticulture, Wendy.
That's right. I just learned that.
They go hand in hand.
24 inches cubed. Yep. Exactly.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
Like SpongeBob SquarePants.
Similar.
Now, the other thing is if they don't have a container that big, but they still want to save it over, but they don't need to see it all winter, they're not using it for a landscape plant, then they can get a little dolly and they can take it into an unheated garage.
Yeah.
And as long as they keep that soil temperature 32 to 35 and keep it from freezing solid, then the plant will probably be fine in the spring. And the plants don't need light during the winter when they're dormant.
They don't.
Really?
Right. So the garage can be perfectly dark.
I say go garage because I don't like to bring outdoor plants in the house because I worry about bugs being on them.
Well, and that those evergreens, you have to remember where they spend the winter in their native habitat, and they need a cold dormant period. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to bring them into 72 degrees. They can't grow continuously or be exposed to those kinds of temperatures 365 days of the year.
Alice has a question for you.
Okay.
Alice has called 312-981-7200. Alice, Tony Fulmer.
Yes, I received a rosemary tree for Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And it's getting very dried out, and I'm not sure how to care for it, if I'm doing it right or what.
May I ask what a rosemary tree is?
It's a tree, a Christmas tree made out of rosemary.
Really? It's very pretty.
They sell them at a lot of the stores now.
You're familiar with the Maury Amsterdam tree, correct, Wendy?
Yes.
It's like that. You put
them
next to each other.
It's a rosemary tree.
Oh,
yeah,
it is. I'm
it's
sorry,
not
Steve.
Rosemary.
I'm
I know
sorry.
Rosemary is an herb of yes. parsley, sage, rosemary,
yes.
and thyme.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to go there.
No, a Scarborough Fair joke? I don't have time for that. So what does she need to know?
The biggest problem with those, do you have it in a very warm room, like 72 degrees with low humidity, and maybe have it in a bright window?
Okay.
Do you have any
of those conditions?
Yeah, I have. The room is about 72, and it's in a window with sunshine. It's 50 of sun for it.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing you have to balance. It likes the light, but it doesn't like warmth and really dry. So in a perfect world, if you had an unheated sun porch, or if you're one of those people that really keeps your thermostat down in the 60s, the plant would be much, much happier. And you high humidity, cooler, bright light, and if you have it warmer, then you're going to have to keep it out of a south or west window where it can really heat up during the day. But that's why the leaves are probably dehydrating and starting to just drop.
Yeah, that's what they're doing.
Yep.
How about
yep.
that? He's amazing, isn't he, Alice? Merry Christmas. I think we have time for one more.
Okay.
Linda's on the line. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Linda.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Ho, ho, ho. We only have about a minute here. Did you have a question for Tony?
Just a quick question regarding a hydrangea bush that I have. Is there? Do you cut off the tops of the flower, or do you leave it till the spring, or what's the best thing to do?
That's interesting. That's a matter of personal taste. So if you like the way those dried seed heads look in the winter landscape in the snow when the landscape is kind of bare, you can leave those on, and then you can go ahead and prune those off first thing in the spring when you're doing your shaping of the plant.
Oh, so it doesn't matter.
No, not at all.
Linda, I have Annabelle hydrangeas in front of my house, and I love those big brown, softball size flowers because it just looks cool. Otherwise, if you cut them all down, there's like nothing in front of your house.
Exactly right. I was just afraid that I wouldn't get flowers again in the spring. And then do you put any mulch or anything around the plant to protect the roots? Or?
Yes, you should always have mulch on there, at least a couple of inches right now.
I'm lazy. I haven't mulched.
1 to 2 inches of either a wood bark product or some type of organic mulch would be really beneficial, you bet.
Okay, any food or just the mulch?
No fertilizer. No, just mulch.
Okay, and you can leave the bulbs in there fine till the beginning of spring. And you don't cut down any of the stems or anything in spring either, just the top of the bulb, correct?
That's probably a half an hour discussion, so if you want to call me at Chalet, we can talk about that. But you have to know, you have to be very specific about the different types of hydrangeas and the way they're going to be pruned.
Some grow on old stems and some have new.
Wow.
Thank you very much.
Wow.
So it depends what kind you have.
How about that? Wasn't that impressive?
Thank you, Linda. Merry Christmas.
How about you, though, Tony? Somebody says, I got a mulch question. You go, it'll be a half an hour discussion. Call me at work, and I'll talk about it with you. That's amazing. Good for you.
Well, glad to do that.
Wow. There's a neighbor I have who also has the Annabelle hydrangeas, and I remember last year or something I had cut them down, and I did it in a bad time where I shouldn't have, and they didn't bloom well, and they looked very sparse. They came back wonderfully, so of course I have not touched them. But the lady down the street can actually groom them, so there aren't that many floppy ones. Like, she knows which flowers to cut off. Is there an art to it so it looks like a...
Well, on that Annabelle, which is the big, 6 to 8 to 10 inch softball-like white flower that's so prevalent everywhere, the big thing about those is while they're shade-tolerant, they're really going to be better in sun. So if you have them out in 5 to 6 hours of direct sun a day, the plants will tend to stay much more compact.
Oh.
So they tend to be a little floppier when you put them in deep, deep shade. The plants tend to stretch trying to find light.
Oh.
And don't over-fertilize them. They're not real heavy feeders.
I don't fertilize
feeders, so
anything.
Don't.
I'm lazy.
Okay.
Tony, it's always fun to talk to you, and I want to thank you privately. Tony's working on a project with me. I'm making topiary plants shaped like Wendy and Steve Bertrand and Kevin, and you've been very kind to help me with those. So thank you for doing that.
It's been a challenge.
I know.
I should do that during the winter. That would be a fun thing to do since I can't garden.
Yeah. Animal topiaries, absolutely.
Yep. Yeah, that doesn't take a long time at all.
No.
To get that done in a couple of months. Go visit Tony at the Chalet in Wilmette. It's located at 3132 Lake Avenue in Wilmette. The website, chaletnursery.com. The phone number, 847-256-0561. Tony, have a great holiday.
I will. You too.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
More after this. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.